You've kept my word. You've held on to my word. And you've not denied my name. When it seemed like things were not going the way that it should go, you held on to my word. You did not let go. He says, that's a good thing. You still believe I'm a good God. When things that were not so good were happening, you still were lifting up your hands in worship and adoration. You still are singing over a dry well. When I told you you were going to get water from that dry well, you kept on singing. Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to address a subject that is of utmost importance. And we have to have a balance and understanding on this particular subject. Sin first appeared in heaven before it appeared here in the earth. Sin appeared in heaven because an entity called Lucifer, that became what we call Satan, tried to take on a responsibility that was not his. Take ownership of something that was not his. So the first reason for sin was a word called responsibility. The first intrusion of sin in the earth was about man being introduced or commissioned to be something that he was not, but yet was. He was not, but yet was. How can you be something and yet not be it? He was introduced to this by that same diabolical force, Lucifer, Satan, when he was told, man was told, to eat of a fruit that he was not meant to eat of. Because the devil said to him, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. But he was already like God. So he was being asked to tap into a portion that was not really his, but yet his, because that particular place had to have balance. Are we together so far? I hope I've not confused you at the very beginning of this message. Responsibility. It is, believe it or not, one of the most important words that you should, and we all should, understand. Responsibility. Now, the flip side of responsibility is irresponsibility. Well, the sign of sin, that sin is present, is irresponsibility. The first man and woman, when they sinned, started something called the blame game. It's the woman you gave to me. It is the serpent that beguiled me. Passing the buck. In essence, not being responsible, not taking responsibility for actions. And any man and any woman that you see on this planet that is failing, you will find this to be true, that at some point they are not taking responsibility for their actions. Irresponsibility shows up in terms of blame, shows up in terms of callousness, apathy, indifference, hardness of heart. And we see that irresponsibility showing up in the life of Cain. Cain, what have you done? Where's your brother? And his response is, am I my brother's keeper? I'm not responsible. Apathy, callousness of heart. So this subject is a very important subject, because the line of responsibility and irresponsibility is very thin. Somebody can be doing something that is responsible and be irresponsible at the same time. So how do we understand this particular concept or thought? Because responsibility means to take ownership. If you're going to be responsible, you are going to have to take ownership. You're going to have to own it and say, I am responsible for this. Responsibility is something that is assigned to you because you mature to handle it. So, you're working at a place and they give you a job to do. They expect you to deal with that particular job from a responsible position. You have to be responsible. We learn responsibility from very early in our life. And one lesson attached to obedience, because responsibility and obedience are sisters, is that the training that we give to people from the very early days of their life is the lesson of responsibility. To be responsible. If a child does not learn responsibility, that child will become a pain to their family and to society. Are we together so far? If there is anything you want to teach your child, is to teach that child to be responsible. Be responsible. Now, if we talk about that word responsibility, there will be so many definitions. But there is a particular aspect of that word responsibility that I want to focus my attention on this morning. It is in looking at that word responsibility from a compound sense, looking at it as a compound word. A compound word in this sense, that responsibility is response and ability. See, response? Ability is responsibility. Say it again. Response, ability equals responsibility. So, responsibility is to be the ability to respond. Are we together so far? The ability to respond is what responsibility is. So you cannot be responsible if you don't have the ability to respond. So when I said the one thing that we need to teach our children is responsibility, it is to say then that the one thing I need to teach my child is for him to have ability. Somebody say ability. Ability is a capacity to do. The capacity to do is my ability. And responsibility then means that I bring my ability to respond to whatever problem or situation I face in life. Hello? Okay. So, child is growing up, and I teach the child how to tie their shoelaces. And after a while, I don't need to do the teaching anymore because I have granted him by example the ability to learn how to do his own tying. So there comes a time when I don't need to do it for that child anymore. That child has to do it for himself because that child is responsible. We got it? A few years ago, I was visiting our grandkids and they had to put on their winter jacket. And this child did it one shot. Just on. Normally, you will put one hand and then put the other hand and then you put it on. The coat is on the ground and the way it was set up, he just did that and the whole thing was on. I said, sheesh. Where did you learn that from? Oh, from school. They taught them how to put on the jacket one shot, not just one hand here, one hand there. Boom. The whole thing is on. Wow. I said, that's amazing. He had the ability to respond and to do it quickly. That's interesting. Somebody was learning. You know what the problem is in church and in society? We've not learned responsibility. There are people seated here today and in so many churches. They just come and they sit down, they listen to the word of God and they go home. And they don't have a sense of responsibility or a sense of ownership to what is happening in that church. They don't care. It's none of my business. They've not learned responsibility, and so they've not taken ownership. It didn't just happen yesterday. It was the way they grew up. They've never learned. And so if you were to speak a word of rebuke because you have a sense that they are important, and because they are important, they should have responsibility, they get offended. It's none of my business. No, it's your business. Why? I'm just supposed to come here and just sit down and go home and somebody else does stuff. Oh, somebody else is responsible, but not you. Somebody else is responsible doing the music. Somebody else is responsible preaching. Somebody else is responsible for giving. Somebody is responsible for cleaning. Somebody else is responsible for whatever. But me, guess what? When you're not responsible, you demote yourself. Because responsibility only goes to people that are mature. Only mature people are responsible. I cannot ask my grandson, as much as I love that son and as much as he loves vehicles and whatever else, I cannot hand over the keys to my car to my grandson that is 5 years old, 3 years old, and say, drive the car. Thou be responsible of me, given to him that's not mature enough to do that, to drive the car. Do you see it? So one person is putting responsibility on somebody else, and that becomes an act of irresponsibility for the one who is assigning to the one that's not responsible responsibility. Okay. I'm glad that we know this. So, do you think God is going to assign you to do anything when you're not mature enough? That would be irresponsible of God. Do you think God is going to ever be irresponsible? Oh. So, God is not going to assign to me to do anything that I am not qualified to do. That's why he says he will not allow, even allow me to be tempted beyond that which I'm able to bear. But will provide a way of escape because he's not an irresponsible God. The amount of responsibility I have is equivalent to the level of maturity I am operating in and by. If I want more, responsibility, I must increase my ability. Hello. You want more responsibility? I must check on your ability. Are you capable of doing what you're asking for? Responsibility, the ability to respond. The ability to respond. What problems can you solve? Everybody's here to solve a problem. Every human being is in the earth to solve a problem. You say, what do you mean? This child is brain damaged, doesn't have any limbs that will do anything. Are you telling me this child is here to solve a problem? Yes. What kind of a problem can this child solve? Tell you a story I read about not too long ago. A man had a son that was had lots of issues. no sense of coordination. And he's walking with this child, and he sees some kids playing baseball. Two teams playing baseball. And his son, that's all this issue, says, "Dad, do you think they will let me play?" Dad looks at his son. He wants to feel that he belongs. And he goes and he talks to one of the guys playing. Says, "This is my son. He would like to play. Will you guys let him play?" They were losing by 3 runs. And he looks, says, "We're losing anyway. We'll let him play. He'll be the last batter." So they put him as part of their team. And the losing team hits the ball. They make a run. They're now 2 more. And again, they get another point. Now it's the last point, the last inning. And this kid that can't do anything is going bad. If they let him bat, they for sure will lose. If they don't let him bat, they have a chance, because things are happening for them now. So they decide they're going to let him bat. The opening team looks at the situation and decide to make it easy for him to hit the ball. They throw the ball, and he misses by a mile. They get closer. The pitcher gets closer and just drops it for him. And he hits it, and the ball falls right in front of the pitcher. He could take the ball and tag him. But no, he takes the ball. People are yelling for him to run, and he starts running as slow as he could get. And this pitcher throws the ball way over the first base guy. Over there. By the time the guy gets over to the first, gets the ball, he is close. And the guy throws the ball and goes way over. And he runs and he gets to second base. And then they throw the ball way over again. And he gets to the third base. And he's a hero. What did he do? Was there a reason for him? Yes. He revealed that people can empathize and be there for somebody else, help somebody else feel important. Are we together? So, one man's pain reveals that there is a need to share of ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about the Good Samaritan. The story of a man that's traveling from Jerusalem or from Jericho to Jerusalem or whatever, whichever way the direction went down to Jericho. Okay, he's coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he's jumped. He's jumped by these thieves. And here comes the priest, comes the Pharisee, and they watch and they minded their own business. But here comes the Samaritan, and he stops. And he ministers to that man. Stops his business, ministers to that man, takes responsibility, pours in the oil and the wine, takes that man to an inn, places a man in the inn, pays the bill, and says, if there is any other bill to pay, when I come back, I'll take care of it. He had the ability to respond. Did the others have the ability to respond? Obviously they did. But did they utilize it? No. So when we talk about ability to respond, we're not saying that you are incapable. It is whether you choose to use whatever it is that you've got to do what is needful. What is needful? Do you see somebody struggling? None of my business. Well, you've not taken responsibility. You've not brought help and assistance to that particular situation. Now, to be responsible doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be personally engaged in trying to solve a situation. You might be capable of reaching out to somebody else who is able to come solve the problem. Are we together? So if I see some people shooting at each other, I don't jump in front of the bullets. I call the police. That's the responsible thing to do. The irresponsible thing to do is to go try to separate a fight and get stabbed. Hello? So responsibility means that you use your brains. Use your mind. You prioritize the decisions that you're making. Now, we're talking about life issues here. Because too many times people act irresponsibly. Responsibility. When I come to this church, see everything is all nice and beautiful. Things are clean. None of that happened by chance. It happened because somebody took ownership. I'm responsible. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to use the gifts that God has given to me, and I'm going to exercise it by playing the keyboard, by playing the drums. You know, son, you're doing an extremely wonderful job on those drums. Wow. From when you started to now, I was just listening to those drums go this morning. I'm saying, this was not like how it was, you know, 6 months ago. Maybe the capacity was there then, and I'm sure it was. But guess what? You might have all of that inside, but if you are timid on the inside, you will not play as good. But as the confidence grows and the sense of belonging grows, you become freer. Are we together? And now the gifting inside comes out. Praise the Lord. Responsibility. Now, if he was not as good as he is now 6 months ago, then the only reason he got this good is because he increased his ability. The only reason they sing better is because they increased their ability. How did they increase their ability? They increased their ability because they wanted to serve at a higher level. Yes, God likes make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but how long are we going to listen to noise? Sooner or later, the noise has to become melodious and there's got to be some harmony. Hello? We cannot, like Mama would say, I sing in Kike. You cannot do that and be worshiping God. Praise the Lord. If while they're singing and somebody's off, oh man, you're going to stop and say, who did that? Who is the one singing that wrong note? Even if you don't know how to sing, you know when it's wrong. So people have to fine tune. Why do they fine tune? I know I'm going all over the place, but I'm covering whatever it is I need to cover. Why do they need to fine tune their notes, their tone? So that they don't become the noise. So that they become part of the harmony. And responsibility brings us to that place where we harmonize. We're working together. We're planning together. We're doing things together. We're taking ownership. This is my church. And I'm going to bring my best to it. Amen? It's not Pastor Zeno's church, Pastor Maria's church. No, this is our church. We are one body. And when you take responsibility, you sacrifice. How many are parents here? All right. Now, let me ask you this question, parents. Do you sacrifice for your children? If you sacrifice for your children, wave at me. Look at that. You sacrifice for your children. That means you do without so that they can have. Yes? Interesting. So, responsibility means sacrifice. I'm responsible to take care of them, to provide for them, to make it possible for them to be better than I am. I am going to go down so they can sit on my shoulder, stand on my shoulder, and see further than I can see. Responsibility. Sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. People who sacrifice for this to happen. It takes sacrifice for that man to be behind that camera right this very moment. When I think about the kind of sacrifices that people make in this church that make things happen, I just, many times I come to the Lord and I said, thank you, Lord, for the team that you've given to me. Their sacrifice was not because they knew everything. They grew to learn whatever it is that they are doing now. When you go home during the week, we are still doing ministry. We're reaching nations. We're reaching millions of people every month. I couldn't do it by myself. There are people who drive long distances just to come shoot an hour of speaking, sharing, touching people all over the place. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. They didn't get paid to do it. They burnt their own gas to come do it. Because they took on the ability and said, there is a need, I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond. I'm going to help. Why? Because they caught a vision and took ownership of it. I'm not waiting on somebody else over there to do it. I'm going to do it. The ability to respond Let me go a little bit deeper here. Somebody is sick and they need healing. I need to have the ability in Christ Jesus to respond. How? Pray. Lay hands on the sick. Speak the word of faith. But I cannot do that if I don't develop my ability. So we go back to where we started. The lesson is about increasing my ability. Oh, I attend a church. There are souls to be won. There are financial things to be taken care of. I need to increase my ability financially. Not so I can go buy a new truck. And there's nothing wrong with buying a new truck. But what about the most important thing, the winning of souls? Lord, bless me so I can seed into the things of the kingdom. And God says, honor me with your tithes and your offerings, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing. And that not enough, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Why? Because you're my partner. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'm in partnership with God. I've taken responsibility. I'm saying, I'm part of this work. And God, if 10% is what you're asking of me, here it is. And I'm going to do more. I'm taking responsibility. And God says, you take responsibility, I take responsibility for you too. I'm going to fight for you. And anything trying to mess with you, I'm going to swap it out of the way because I can trust you. Hallelujah. Responsibility. I need to build that. My prayer life is part of me generating more ability in God so I can respond when I'm needed to pray. I remember many years ago, a dear sister that's gone home to be with the Lord now, she was in a wheelchair and she powered our wheelchair. And she tumbled down the stairs. Now, prior to that happening, I was up in my office. And I saw in the realm of the spirit some demonic forces. And I went after them and I attacked them and I defeated them. And after I finished defeating that, bang, bang, bang on my door. Who is that coming? What's wrong? Oh, Sister Esme fell down. I said, fell down where? She's in a wheelchair. How can she be falling down? I dash down here and I see the saints surrounding her. And they were praying. And I listened to how they were praying. They were praying correctly, the way I will pray. So I said, it's taken care of. Let me do the other practical part. Call 911. Get an ambulance to come because I knew. Can you imagine that I've not given and fed into the people? Now I'll be there trying to pray and trying to this and trying to. No, confusion. So the lesson is, we've got to grant and bring ability to people so that they can function properly in life. Function. You know, God's word says to us that we are supposed to love our neighbors as we do ourselves. That's a responsibility God has given to us. Love your neighbor. God's word says, husbands, love your wives. And wife, see to it that you respect your husband. God is not going to do that for you. He says, you do it. That's responsibility. So you and I need to build up the capacity to love. Build up the capacity to respect. It's up to you. It's up to me. Let me put it this way. Responsibility is what you do to become what you should. Responsibility is what you do to become what you should do. So that when you there's a problem, you are ready for it. So responsibility is not something that you just happens. It's something that you're working on until it is needed. Hello? It's what you're doing until it's needed. And we all need that. And the challenge is that I need to be a person that is dependable. Because responsible people are dependable people at your workplace. Responsible people are trustworthy people. Can you trust me? Can I trust you? Are you dependable? All of those things are a result of my maturity. Being mature. It causes me to discipline myself. Because responsible people are disciplined people. It's not about disciplining other people. It's about me disciplining myself. I'm bringing myself into order so I can do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Hello? You act responsibly when you put your priorities in proper order. Responsible people prioritize. You cannot have a rent coming up. You know, at such and such a time, the rent is due. And you have the money to pay the rent. But you decide that you're going to go to a party. And to go to that party, you need to have a nice new dress. So you take your rent money and go buy some dress so you can go to some crazy party somewhere. And after that party is done, nobody will care about whether you were there or not there. And now it's the end of the month and the rent is due. And say, I don't have any money for my rent. Excuse me, who was responsible or irresponsible here? Go to your party and keep on partying. Now that you are kicked out into the street because you don't have money to pay for the rent, let that new dress be your shelter. Are we talking English? But that's how people act. No sense of responsibility. So they don't... irresponsible people put the cart before the horse and are surprised that the horse has arthritis. Because the horse wants to go and keeps on kicking the cart. No, put the cart where it belongs, behind the horse. Hello? That's what responsible people do. Responsible people put priorities. They seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then they know that God will add every other thing to them. Responsible people seek God first. Irresponsible people seek other things first. You know, the wisest people can also be the most irresponsible people. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about now? How many of you know a guy called Solomon? A king called Solomon. Supposed to be very wise. Yeah? But he did the most unwise things. Why? Because he disobeyed God's instruction. God says, don't marry all those women. Those are the ones he went to marry. Why? Because he wanted their ability and refused to continue to acknowledge the ability of God in his life. He said, Pastor, why are you going here? Because I'm trying to say to those who feel so secure, oh, I'm very responsible, I'm so, that you can become very responsible when you turn your ways away from God and obeying God to doing your own thing with your own smarts. Now, these other gods that he went to worship, these other gods that he built high places for, do you think they were powerless and they didn't show some amazing powers and miracles? He'd be a total dunce if he was building all of that, you know, for something. No, there was some action taking place there. There were demonic forces operating there. So, because he lost his sense of discernment, in understanding that there is God power and evil power, and separating them and recognizing that God's power is greater than every evil power, and every other evil power must bow down to the power of God, because he did not keep that deep within his spirit, as wise as he was, and that wisdom was given to him by God. He had the ability to do the right thing. But in his disobedience, and because he did not feed that which God has given to him, and allowed his eyes to go for the women, he ended up with thousands of them. A wise man, how can you get that crazy? How can you be so anointed and be so screwed up? Because you don't take responsibility. It's everybody else. The Bible says, the women that he gave himself to led him away from God. It took him away. Oh, I got it. I'm so powerful. I'm so anointed. I'm so whatever. No. Anybody that does not continue with God fails. anybody. You don't continue with God, you're going to fall apart. And so, therefore, the responsible thing to do is not set yourself up for failure. Is somebody listening? I hope I'm not talking to myself. Don't set yourself up for failure. In Luke chapter 5, from verse 17 through 25, we read about how there was these Pharisees and Sadducees and these leaders. Jesus is in this house and is teaching, and all of these people were there. And the Bible says the power of God was present there to heal. God's power is present. But notice, it says in verse 16, it says, Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and what? Prayed. That is, availing himself of the ability that he needed for what he was about to do. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and he spent time what? Praying. And it says, and it came to pass on a certain day. Because there's always going to be a certain day that you are getting prepared for. Is somebody listening? There's a certain day that you're getting prepared for. All of the days of my life are preparing me for a particular day. All of your life is preparing you for a particular day. It says, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal who? Them. Who healed them what? The Pharisees and the doctors of the law. He had prayed. He was there. They were there. Are we together? He prayed. He was present. They were present. The power of God was present. There's all these presents. Healing powers are available, but none of them getting healed. But there's a guy. There's a guy who has a palsy. He cannot do anything by himself. And he has four destiny helpers. He has these friends of his, and they bring him in a bed. And they see the crowd. They could wait. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to come out of that building. But when he comes out, will the power of God be present to heal? Oh, because if the power of God was present to heal, then there was a situation or a setting of time when the power of God was not present to heal. So, we're going to cut this mustard right now. So, they decide, okay, we're not going to wait. They go up stairs, get on the roof of the house, begin to tear up the roof. It was not a small hole. They must have done some serious damage. And start letting down their friend from the roof. And Jesus says, how dare you tear up that roof? Is this your house? And guess whose house it was? It was Peter's. Peter's mother's house. And you know Peter's temper. Something is going to happen here. Jesus sees. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. And those Pharisees and those doctors are upset. They are so stuck on their religious mindset that they're so upset about what Jesus is saying here. Only God can do this. So Jesus says to them, just to show to you that I have the power to forgive sins, I say, man, rise up. Because if I can't forgive their sin, then I'm a sinner. And a sinner cannot make this man well. So I say, rise up and walk. Which one is easier? The guy gets up, takes up his bed, and goes home. Guess what? All that crowd that would not let him in had to give way for him to get out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the reason I tell you that story is that there were four guys, or at a minimum, two guys, that took him up those stairs. Tore up that because they took responsibility for their friend. Who are you willing to break everything for so that they can get their miracle now? Responsibility. For myself, for others. And it behooves me to do everything to be the best that I can be. Many years ago, got to be about 20 years or more, I had gone to visit, see somebody at the hospital. And I saw these doctors and nurses working feverishly at this particular patient and other patients. I saw this young lady, she looked like she was like 20-something years old. And I said to her, I said, thank you very much for going to school and learning and studying. Because of all your hard work, this life will live. Looked like nothing, diagrams, taking exams and studying and all of that. It looked like nothing. But now, it was something. I couldn't do anything about that situation. I don't know nothing about whatever. Do you know the details? You know, you go, you know, in high school, you know, you have a diagram of, you know, yeah, this is where the heart is, and this is where the lungs are, these are the kidneys, and this is a large intestine and a small intestine, and this is the appendix and whatever else. And you think, now I know biology. Excuse me. What do you know? Do you know the details of that heart? Do you know that people, you know, are doctors, and then they have to have specialists who know even more details of the details of the details, and they got there because they studied. A guy was listening to the news the other day, 3 transplants one day, a heart, a lung, kidneys. One guy. How does that happen? A battery of doctors, nurses, spent time. But it was not what they did at that table. It was everything that they did before they got to that table. Hello? So when we're talking about responsibility, we're talking again about responsibility, the ability to respond. And if there's anything I want every one of us to get a hold of today, it is this. I must have the ability to respond. Did you get that? I must have the ability to respond. And I wrap up with John chapter 9. The Gospel of John chapter 9. Whoever that person is, I'm talking about responsibility. Take responsibility over that cell phone. You and I need to have the ability to respond when healing is necessary, when somebody needs to be encouraged, when somebody needs to be financed, when somebody needs to be helped. In John 9, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking and he sees a man that was blind from birth. And the disciples ask the Lord, he says, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? See, when you don't have an answer, you always find somebody to blame. Well, if you did this and if you did that, then maybe this. No, no. We know the guy was born blind. And he was born blind because he was very mean to the mother while he was in the womb. She was busy kicking the mother in her tummy, punching her. And so the mother said, hey, baby, be blind. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But what we know is this: he's born blind. And these disciples are busy asking, who sinned? Wait a minute. What problem do you have? How can this child sin? They must be believing in other religious systems that believed in reincarnation. And that's what you and I need to purge ourselves of if we're going to be responsible, powerful people. Get rid of all the nonsense that you've believed, that's penetrated your mind. Shun that and embrace the truth of God. Jesus says, forget about that. It's not about him sinning or anybody else sinning, but this is the real issue. He says, I got to do the work of God while it is day. For when the night comes, nobody can work. I got to do my thing. Forget about what the issues are. I'm going to be a solution. And the question and the answer that we'll almost embrace today is this: God. God, help me to be a solution. Help me to be available. Help me to be capable. How long will it take to correct that? Help me to be available. Help me to be capable. Help me to have the ability. Help me to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Rise with me. I want you to pray. I want you to look to God right this very moment. and ask God to correct those things that need to be corrected. What area in your life do you need to have the ability enhance, reinforce, so that you can respond? Not because somebody asks you, but because you're discerning to know this needs to be done. That needs to be done. Ask God right where you are right now. God, I need to be able, energized, capable. I need your ability to respond. I need the capacity to be discerning, to know where I am needed and how I am needed. I need to come to that place where I am responsible. I take ownership. Ownership for the things that I do, the things that I say. Because sometimes we don't want to take ownership, we want to blame somebody else. God, help me to take ownership of what I need to take ownership for, and to denounce those things that I need not take ownership for. Hallelujah. Father, help us. We want to be responsible men and women. We want to be responsible sons. Your word says all creations await the manifestation of the sons of God. And Lord, oh God, we are saying today that we don't want to wait anymore. And we don't want all creation waiting anymore. Lord, accelerate your glory in our lives. Do in us and with us that which is needful this very moment. So, Lord, oh God, that will become an answer in our world. Your word says, oh God, that you sought for a man to stand in the gap, somebody to build the hedge, to build the wall, but you found nobody. Lord, oh God, we are saying, oh God, today, Lord, that should never again be the case. For, Lord, oh God, we are taking responsibility. We are coming, oh God, to this place, and we are declaring that your kingdom come and that your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. We're praying, oh God, for our elections, and we're declaring in the mighty name of Jesus that these elections, oh God, will be so amazing because your hand-picked men and women will be the people in leadership. Anyone else, oh God, is scrubbed out in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the vision that you give to us to fulfill your divine mandate for our lives in this last of the last days. We are asking, oh God, for your power, for an empowerment to come upon us. So, Lord, oh God, that we can become solutions, problem solvers in our world. Bringing your healing anointing to your people. Preaching the word of salvation to the lost. So your amazing grace can find the lost and bring them, oh God, to the place where they declare Jesus is Lord forever. Thank you, Lord, that every need is met. Our hearts, oh God, purged. And Lord, oh God, our vision clear to do that which is pleasing in your sight. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.